Good day to you, and welcome to another session as we study the book of Ruth today. And this has been a real enjoyable study for me, and I trust it has for you as we are talking about my kinsman redeemer. Yes, we're talking about Ruth, but it is a foreshadowing of what we have in Jesus. And that's something we want to keep in mind today as well, because we're just going to see more and more of this through these next couple of sessions. Today, we're going to be talking about the proposal, and that may sound a little strange to you, but just bear with us, and I believe you'll see exactly why the Lord has had me title that. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we just are so thankful for your love for us and for giving us Jesus, the Word made flesh. And today, Father, we have that Word. We can trust it, just like Jesus were standing in front of us, talking to us. And we just thank you for that fact that the Holy Spirit then takes it and makes it alive in us. So Holy Spirit, have your way in us today. And we just declare we will be changed. We will see our Redeemer and have a greater, greater love and thus obedience for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about the Goel revealed. We looked at basically all of Ruth 2, starting with verse 4. And all of this led up to Boaz being identified as their closest kinsman, or their Goel, or their kinsman redeemer. And we saw Boaz and his character really revealed through his acts of kindness, through Chesed, through covenant actions toward both Ruth, but also toward his employees. And that was just a real encouragement to me on the impact we can have here today, as we truly love others with this covenant love that's been placed inside us. But it's going to take some stepping out in faith, just like Ruth did. Because remember, she said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find favor in someone. Someone's going to show me favor today. Let me just go through a quick list of a number of items between verses 4 and 23 that were impactful to me, and I believe to you too. So we're not going to go just verse by verse, but just some listings here. A boss and employees speaking blessings of the Lord over each other. That just was profound to me. And really, it just makes me see the influence that we each can have today as we live and become doers of God's word. Boaz commented that he had been fully informed of Ruth's covenant kindness. And I'll say that because the words are used, she was showing chesed toward Naomi. And as a result, he treated her with that same covenant love, that same chesed. And that just reminds me of the scripture that talks about with Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you. So we can be blessed as we show that covenant kindness to others. And certainly Boaz was, as well as Ruth. I love the way that he referred to her first in a tender term, my daughter, showing an age difference, but showing great deference to her because of the kindness and love she had shown to Naomi. And it was a very respectful way to address her. Ruth, she impressed the reapers with her diligence. We talked about how this was not an easy task, all the steps that were involved, but she was so diligent, and she went not expecting favorable or favored above others kind of treatment. And then not only did she find the right field, which happened to be Boaz's field, but not by chance, but by God's direction, Boaz shows up on that same day. God's timing. I mean, it's so important that we understand that and that we move as he tells us to move, because that's when the timing is going to be right. We looked at the instructions that Boaz gave to Ruth. And if you think about this, you could see God in this towards you. And so let's see this parallel again today as we go through this. She was told, don't glean on other fields. Thus he was saying, I'm your provider, just like we have today. Stay in my fields. And that's as if you're going to be under my wings, where we too can hide for protection in our Lord. Another opportunity to see that manifest today. He forbade his men to harm her. And Jesus stripped the devil of all authority over us. So he has no authority unless we relegate it back to him. And he told her, stay close to my young women. He was really taking her in and showing her the deference as being part of her family. And praise God, we've been brought into the family of God, born into it. And then she was also told, now follow close behind the reapers. Now remember, she was going to just be one of the normal folks out there who were gleaning the field. She didn't ask for any favors, but now he's telling her, you get positioned close. And he gave his reapers instructions as to how to give her extra provision. So more provision, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then finally, when she became thirsty, he told her, when you do, then go drink from the water that my servants have bought. She is what? Partaking just as a member of a family. He's taken really full responsibility for her. Now, Boaz recognizes too, I believe, that she is seeking after the God of the Hebrews, after the Lord Jehovah. And to do that, she's having to abandon. Now, that is a bigger deal than we understand. It is a radical conversion, I believe. And then, you remember, as a symbol, I believe, of his recognition of that, he invited her to partake of the noon meal, where they were served bread and wine. And who served her? Boaz did. Oh, can you see Jesus serving his 12 disciples like that? When he, just before he's about to redeem them. And so what we see with this is a type of communion. Again, celebrating the words that the Lord spoke that he was going to perform for us because of the shed blood of our Jesus. Now, in this, we mentioned first fruits, and it's where they would take the sheaves and they would wave them, and they had some things they would say. But what was implied is they were saying, this is our best, this is our first, and we saw how important first things were to the Lord. But when they take those, they're also saying, and the rest we believe is going to be as good as the what we have because we're giving them to you, and we expect the rest of it to be this good as well. And so that just reminds me, that's you and I he's talking about, the latter part of the fruit. Jesus was referred to by Paul as part of the first fruits, and we're following him. And I believe this is indicative also of how Ruth is viewed in this celebration. This is the time that she was being brought into the family and into this loving kindness of the Father, but not only the Father, but of Boaz. And then finally, we saw revealed that Boaz was the owner of the field, and we saw this terms, a kinsman redeemer. And what did he tell Ruth? You stay under my protection, and that's also what she did. So today we're going to move on in the third chapter, and I'm going to pick up with the verse we ended with last week as we begin to talk about a proposal, and you'll see this. Look at verse 1 with me. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Two things jump out at me. She is trying to seek security for her daughter, but let me just read you or tell you what this word security really means. It means a rest. So she is telling her, let me find a rest. Now, this is the first of three times you're going to see that term. And again, it just is so meaningful to me that the Holy Spirit would lead us to study rest, because we see what she's truly doing is entering in to a rest from her labor. So that's one of the things we see. But I also want you to remember that Naomi is really taking care of her. She's preferring her above herself. She says, I'm too old to be pursued in this way. So we pick up then in verse 2. Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. So in this, she is indicating again, Boaz, she believes, is a kinsman redeemer who can perform this act that we're talking about. And where is he? He is still at the place where the grain was taken to the threshing floor. Now, why would he be there? Well, in those days, that is the time when thieves would come. I mean, they weren't going to come out in the field and take the sheaves and then have to go do the work themselves. They were going to wait until the finished product was ready. And we really see that in 1 Samuel 23:1, when David is saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. So what was he doing? He was really being a good steward of the prosperity that the Lord had given him. I can't read that without thinking about myself. Am I being a good steward of the gifts he's given me? Not just financial things, but of the Holy Spirit, of the assignments that he's given us, those things that flow from the anointing that he's asking us to do. So here we have a setup now where Ruth is about to be told some things to go do. But before we read it, I just want to stop and I want you to look at four or five different verses. Really, it's sections of scripture, because I want you to see what the Lord had said about a kinsman redeemer, about a Goel in the Word, because I think it's going to help you see a type of Jesus as we talk about this and look at what is happening to Ruth. So I want to start this by saying what he was becoming is a Goel Hadam, which is a blood redeemer. Now that's important because you're going to see a lot about family relationship here. So what were the qualifications of this blood redeemer, of this Goel? And we're going to look at scripture to find that out. Well, first, they must be related by blood to those who are being redeemed. And Ruth qualifies. Why? Not because she was a Moabite born, but because she had married and come fully into the family in this covenant of marriage with Naomi's son. And so she could view herself and she could be viewed as a relative. Leviticus, and I know that's a book that probably your pages stick together, but that's okay. In chapter 25, and you just stay in 25. I'm going to read one other one in between the four that we're going to read first. But you're going to see what the Lord is saying here about redeemer. Verse 23 of chapter 25, Leviticus. This land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And even today, that's the case with us, because our home is not here. And in the land of And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant redemption of the land. So it's talking to those Jews who would take land that was going to be redeemed back. If one of your brethren becomes poor and he has sold some of your possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. So what do we see here first? You've got to be blood related in order to do this redemption. Leviticus 25, the same chapter, look down in verse 47. A little bit different aspect of it, but something that's very important. Now, if a sojourner or stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed. Now, this is a little different kind of slavery than we endured here in the U.S. It is where I would indenture myself, or I would submit myself to work off a debt for my family or something like that. And then it goes on and says in 49 or 48, picks up in the middle and says, one of his brothers may redeem him. So again, blood relatives, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near of kin in his family may redeem him, or if he's able at some point, he may redeem himself. Now, what you're going to see from this discussion here and the listing of all who are eligible to redeem is that there was an order provided that needed to be followed, and we will see that in this account with Ruth. Now in Deuteronomy 25, back to there, the last one I want to read concerning blood relation, Verse 5 says, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies or has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as a wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. Now, what are they redeeming here? Well, they are maintaining the deceased's name in the family. We might say they're maintaining a family line or the posterity of their brother who has become deceased. So, to do that, then, what else is necessary? Well, the second step is they have to have resources to perform their redemption. And this is one reason that even today, we can help others out. We can, in a sense, redeem the poor as the Lord provides us resources to do so. Now, you got to be led, just like everything. But I believe this is, it's obvious here that no redemption could be formed unless first they were a blood relative and second they had the financial wherewithal to do so. Verses 26 and 27 of Leviticus. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, he's eligible, then let him count the years since its sale and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return it to his possession. So you see here that in order to buy land, you had to have enough prosperity and wealth to buy that land, to redeem it for your kinsmen. And so you might be thinking, well, what would happen if nobody had the money? Well, what did the Lord provide for? The year of Jubilee, that time when everything was returned for it. So be a blood relative, have the necessary resources, and third, you had to be willing to be the redeemer. And I just think about Jesus as we read that verse, Philippians 2, how he laid aside so, so very much to come be our redeemer. Now, as I read this, you're going to see that the men were given an option to opt out if they so chose. And this one may bring a giggle because there's some funny things to me about what you would do if someone decided not to. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, Deuteronomy 25, verse 6, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer it, say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him who had his sandal removed. Now, we don't want to focus so much on what happened if they didn't, but I do want you to see that there was an option for someone to break out of that. And we're actually going to be looking at that next week. So what happens then? Then, if the person backs out, then someone else can step up if they meet the first two qualifications and say, I'm willing. And finally, and I guess this is obvious, but we're told what? That we are to be faithful to our God as He is faithful to us. And this individual must be faithful to fulfill this role and show hesed, faithful to perform those duties of the goel. And if they're not, then I guess they go back to the starting point once again. So with that, we see what God said in His Word. Let's go look, starting in verse 3, and I believe we'll get to the end of the chapter today. In verse 3, Ruth is told by Naomi, therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking, until he's ready to lay down and go to sleep. Now, let's look at the three things that they were told in this third verse, the instruction she was given. And I found this in some rabbis' comments on this scripture. Wash yourself. It is a purification from the what? Serving the previous gods. It's just like our turning away from our sinful nature and turning to Jesus. But remember also, the rabbis did this continually before they could go offer service in the temple. They were continually washing their clothes and themselves in a prescribed manner. So I think it's also indicative of saying, I'm cleaning myself up by being obedient to the law so that I can perform what the Lord wants me to. Second thing she was told was anoint herself. And this was thought to be an act of acceptance of the covenant responsibilities to her Lord God, that she was anointing herself, the anointing oil semblance of the Spirit coming upon and enabling her to serve her God in this covenant manner. And then the third, her best garments, was indicative of a type of a Sabbath garment that were talked about in the law. Now, the Sabbath garment, I just want to recall to you, what does Sabbath talk about? A rest. So in all these things, it leads up to her being in a position of rest. So after she did these things, what Naomi is saying is, don't make yourself known until Boaz goes to sleep. And so verse 4 then picks up, and we'll read 4 through 7 and begin to talk about it. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So Ruth's saying, I'm going to do it. I'm sure she did not fully appreciate what was about to happen. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And then, let me just stop here. Really, in verse 4, what Naomi is instructing her to do is to go initiate a proposal to Boaz for redemption. And that shouldn't be strange to us, because while the Lord draws us with his kindness, just like Boaz has done, what does he expect us to do? He expects us to ask him to come into our lives. We're putting ourselves and we step out and respond to that love by requesting him come to live in us after he remakes us. Now, let me just be blunt. Many will view this as a sexual invitation. And I can see how. I can even show you some scriptures that could possibly indicate that. But the thing that I focus on right here is Ruth's character, Boaz's character, and the chesed, the true love of God that is flowing from them. Now, I want to read to you verse 7. After Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet. Now, this is a real interesting verse. And I want to tell you, this is part of the act of the proposal. But basically, she did what she was told to do. And then it says in verse 8 that now it happened at midnight that the man was startled. So I want you to see, she didn't go in and wake him up, but with her laying next to his feet that she had uncovered, there became a point in the night when he was awakened and found himself with this woman lying at his feet. So in verse 9, and this is really the proposal, he says, Boaz says, who are you? And she answered and said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So what she is doing here is this requesting to be put in a covenant relationship with him as a redeemer, as a goel, as a blood redeemer, a very close relative. Now, when she says, take your maidservant under your wing, my New American Standard, and I'm reading out of New King James today, but the New American Standard, and in this Bible, in this footnotes for the New King James, here's what she's really saying. Spread the corner of your garment over your maidservant. And then she says, for you're my redeemer. Now there's a couple of things that jump out at me on this one. Number one, she sees herself in the family because she's saying, for you are my redeemer. She didn't mention Naomi. But in doing this, I want you to see she's not forsaking Naomi. Now, this verse is really interesting with what it says. Look at Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, verse 8, because you're going to see that as he is talking about, she is talking about covering her. Listen to what this says, and this is the Father talking about the children of Israel, which you know is a type of you and I. It says, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness, your lack, everything, your shame, whatever words you want to use to describe their former state. Then the Lord says, yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. So here we see the covering being placed over the bare feet. And as his feet are covered, the one who is laying at that bare feet is also covered. So you're seeing here Ruth really telling him what she's after. Now let's go to verse 10. He says, Boaz says to her, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, what is he talking about here? He's saying, you've shown chesed, on God's covenant-loving kindness. You're doing it the right way because you're not going after young men or rich men yourself and leaving Naomi forsaken. Do you see that? How he's commending her for showing more chesed at the end than even she did when she came. And we saw what a great act that was and how it was so strongly recognized. And so in this too, you and I can see the tenderness of the Father toward us. So here now in verse 11, we get the response. And now, my daughter, do not fear. Now again, don't be afraid. I think about Jesus, how many times he says, it's me, don't fear, or says peace to them. He says, I will do for you all that you request. So he's basically saying here in the middle of the night, I will be your Goel Redeemer. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So he's responding, yes. But number 12, verse 12 here, we see an issue. Now it is true that I am a close relative to you. However, or we might say, but, and that's what we always hate to hear. I'm going to do this, but listen to the confidence he gives her. However, there is a relative closer than I. So that's the issue that we saw. So if you remember that we talked about an order that this had to be followed. He's saying, I'm willing to do it. I have the resources to do it. I will do it. But we got an issue in that someone closer than I has first option at it. Now I can imagine that her heart sank a little bit. But he's saying this with such great confidence. And then we go to verse 13. And see his instruction to her. So she lay at his feet until morning. And she... No, let me go back to 13. I'm starting to read 14. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. In other words, we will follow the law, and if he chooses to do it, then we will submit to the law. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. And then he tells her, rest, lie down until the morning. So here's another mention of rest coming. Now, when he talks about, I will do it, the thing that jumped up in my heart as I was studying was the Lord saying in, I believe it was Exodus 6, the four I wills to the children of Israel. I will bring you out of your burdens. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own. And that is what we have in the redemptive act of salvation today. Now, the Lord was also telling them, though, I'm going to take you to your land. And so if we think about that fact, then we understand why the land was so important to him, because it was land that he had given. And you can see yourself in each of these four that we talked about. So in verse 14, Ruth lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then she said, then he said, Boaz woke up too and said, don't let it be known to his people there that this woman came to the threshing floor. There's a reason for that. You'll have to come back next week to see it. And he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. So when she heard it, when she held it, he measured out 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went off to the city. So she's waking up early in the morning. And what is he doing? He's sending her away until he can go address what he's told her he would do. But he's not sending her empty-handed. Do you remember? Naomi said, I left with a lot, but I came back empty-handed. Never does the Lord want us to go away from his presence empty-handed. We can just take hope in that. But what he's telling her also is, I believe, is take some for Naomi. And she is so glad to do it. So she comes to Naomi in verse 16. She said, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man has done. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go empty-handed to your what? To your mother-in-law. Now, in saying that, can you see Naomi's hope arise? She told her everything he was going to do. And then she tells her, look, I'm bringing this not just for me, but for you. And I think that's an indication of Boaz's desire, if this goes through, to make sure not only Ruth is redeemed, but Naomi as well. I can just see that hope arising. So verse 18, she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. And see this confidence in her, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter in this day. In other words, he's going to be diligent and he's going to be faithful to do what he said he would do. And how much more can I say will be our God? And so really what she's telling her to do is sit still, or we might say what? Rest. So here a third or fourth time we're seeing that. And that just reminds me what the scripture tells us when the big decisions are coming up, and this is good for all of us to hear, me included today. We don't want to be fretful. We want to what? Be still and know that I am God. That's what his word tells us. Now I want to conclude today's study by giving you some other scripture in Isaiah 43. And I'm going to read this in my New American Standard because I just like the way it reads in here so well. And I've read it so many times, it's just easier for me to read it in this familiar Bible. Isaiah 43, see yourself everywhere it says you or talks about Israel. But now, thus says the Lord, verse 1, O Creator, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, I have called you by name. You are mine. That ought to bring a smile to your face. When you pass through the waters, I will be with what? You. when we go through, just as they went through the Red Sea and those waters parted, he said, I'm with you. And through the rivers, when they crossed the Jordan on that dry land, he says, they will not overflow you. Why will they not overflow them? Because he's what? He's with them. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. In other words, when the tough tests and trials come. And why is that not going to happen? Well, go back to verse 1 and read the last line. I have called you by name, you are mine. And he can do that, read the line above it, because he says, for I have redeemed you. Now jump back down to verse 3 and let's keep going. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I've given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. Why are we honored? Because he loves us. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you. So we see this theme over and over. Now, he's not just talking about us. He's talking about, in this next verse, our posterity. He wants to redeem our family name. He wants our entire family to come be a part of his family. This is great encouragement. So verse 5, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, he says, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7, and the last one we're reading, everyone who is called by my name. Now, is that you and I? I think it is. Then this next line is about us. If we've been called by his name, those whom I have created for my glory, who I formed, even whom I have made. So this verse, these scriptures just encourage me because the Lord is talking here and prophesying about a physical redemption for Israel. But what do we know? A spiritual redemption for us, the bride of Christ. Redemption, no fear, great love, families, all of that encapsulated here. Now we'll begin to jump into chapter 4 next week. But just let these few verses in Isaiah encourage you. The Lord not only wants to draw you, he wants your entire family, those following after your redemption, to be included, not in just your posterity, but in his as children of the living God. Bless you. I trust this has ministered to you today, and we'll see you again next week. Have a great week.